You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Monthly Roundtable Show. We do this on the last Thursday of the month. It's episode 1012. We've got a great panel here, and we've got some great stories. We're going to be discussing WordPress 7.0. We're going to be discussing SpaceX and Mr. Musk's going public. We're going to be talking about Liquid Web and the retirement of Stellar WP and a host of other stories. Should be a great show. Got a couple friends of the show, some great guests. Devin, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name's Devin Walker. I've been in WordPress since the pre-3.0 era, and now we're in the post-7.0 era, so you can do the math there. It's quite a few years. I'm in San Diego, California. Founded a plugin called Give, sold it to Liquid Web. We'll talk about the rest of that as much as I can later. And now I'm at Automattic.
Yep. And I'd like to point out, Devin's a great supporter of the show. He's a major sponsor of the show. His support is much appreciated. And I've got Chris, another friend of the show and supports the show as well. Chris, do you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Chris from Lifter LMS and also have a podcast called LMS Cast.
Yep. And I've got Spence. Spence, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. It's Spencer Farman from WP Launchify or SpencerFarman.com.
And I've got my friend and co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Más, and we do work for the great folks over at Lifter LMS and WP Tonic and more.
Thanks. And I've got my friend Mark. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Mark Benzocaine, and I am the partnerships manager with MainWP.
That's fantastic. Like I say, it should be a great show. We've got some great stories. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's K-I-N-S-T-A.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out, we've got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a created list of the best WordPress technology and services that helps freelancers, small agency owners, and power users. You can find all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. You find all the free goodies there. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So let's go straight into it. So WordPress 7.0 Armstrong ships with AI infrastructure. There was a follow-through story from Patch Stark, the CEO. There's been a bit of controversialism about the AI IPI keys. Kurt pointed this out to me when he was trying it out. So I think I'll start with Kurt. Kurt, what was you tried to explain it, and I was doing three things at once. It seems that what you zeroed in has become a little bit controversial around access to these AI keys. How would you start the conversation?
Well, just our playing with it, because I mean, I'm certainly not the expert in this space, but in just playing with it, it was like, let's say you have a professional Claude account. You want to attach, you know, Claude to this MCP, and you're trying to play with the, you know, the connector that you know, WordPress, you know, purported was like, hey, this thing's out there. And then you go to sign in and then you have to buy, you know, you have to pay more for the API access through Claude. I think it was like an extra $10 or something like that. But then that API at some point did not stay connected. We had to re-up the API key on it. We lost connection. And so it's like, if you're, it's kind of how I feel about with a lot of these AI tools. And I know that Spencer will probably want to drive over to my house and beat me with a frying pan for this, but it's like, you set things up and then you kind of turn a blind eye and you go on to running the rest of your life. But these things kind of require a little bit of babysitting along the way too, because if they become disconnected, you got to reconnect them. And it's just a little bit to babysit. And for me, at my level of play right now, it's more than I wanted to deal with. And I'm busy with some agency work. So I just, I put it in the back burner for a bit and I'm moving on.
Right. So what do you reckon about it, Chris? Because like I say, there's been concerns about these API keys being kind of semi-unsecure. What do you reckon?
Well, the first thing I'd do is compliment it, because having WordPress do something one way so that all the plugin and theme companies don't have to do it a different way, their own way, is kind of nice to have one centralized connection point that plugins can tie into. So that's good. Props to that. There's a lot of things we in WordPress have to recreate and do differently, and, you know, different companies and whatnot. In terms of like storing API keys and secrets and stuff in plain text and all that stuff, there is some security issues there. But I would just zoom out a little bit and say the biggest, you know, threat or challenge that WordPress is going to have is all the penetration testing and cyber attacks that are coming to WordPress because it is open source. That's just going to be huge. Like at Lift Your LMS as an example, we're seeing security research reports like triple what they normally are. And that's because AI tools are making it easier for security researchers to do ethical hacking and get paid. And because WordPress is open source, even if plugin authors are, you know, kind of vague and change logs about like a security update, AI can just watch the diff of like releases and then immediately tell when there's a security thing. So that's what I'm more concerned about. But the idea that, you know, you can hack into a WordPress site and then you can get their Claude API credits, that is a thing. But I think the bigger issue is actually just looking at how do we harden WordPress from an AI perspective. It's sort of like how, what is it? Claude Mythos was shelved so that the big companies like Google and whoever can have a moment to harden their software. WordPress is pretty big too. It's like 40% of the internet. So I think we really need to be proactively hardening our software too. So in my opinion, like from here at 7.0, that's the most important thing for WordPress to look at.
All right. What do you reckon, Mark?
I think Chris said it probably as well as I could, especially since he's, you know, knee deep in it a lot more than I am. But I think the security concerns are the big concerns, and hardening that is definitely the thing that needs to be focused on. As far as whether it was premature or not, I can't really speak to that. So it needs to be done. There's no way we're getting away from it. And I like the centralization of it. I do like the idea that all these plugin authors don't have to come up with their own ways of doing it when it's centralized in WordPress. I do think it's something that needs to go in core. So,
what about you, Devin? You know, what's your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I think it is a concern. You know, obviously, anytime potentially like an API key of importance can get out there, but it's nothing real new with WordPress. And Oliver's point was, you know, this is introducing something new, and the way these get out there is, my point back was like, hey, you're either you're not updating your site, it's abandoned, and vulnerabilities come out all the time because you're not updating the plugins, and then it exposes and leaks these API keys, which then you might be hit with a 100,000 plus bill from your API usage. That's never a good story, but I think it's important that this gets into core, because I don't really even go into WordPress and, you know, point and click my way around anymore. I'm just using agents to do it now. And this, that's the way of the future. I think many folks are going to start working with WordPress, and this is an important facilitator of that.
All right. So, Spencer, I think you, like, you've been a bit forward of this, because I think, so first of all, what's your own view about how it was introduced and maybe the security risk? And the second question is that you kind of looked at these expenses and you've moved on to lower costs to some extent, AI providers, haven't you? Large language models, haven't you? So what's your views?
Well, first of all, Pope Leo thinks Kurt is profoundly human, and I wouldn't beat him with a frying pan. I would drink him under the table at the Sandhill Brewery. Second of all, is that I think it's about time that WordPress acknowledged that they're living in a world of AI, because it was remarkable to me how long the conversation was going on for the world had moved on like into space, and everybody here was still doing conversations about, oh, look, I'm going to do some page builder design with CSS. This is remarkable. I'm going to drag the Gutenberg blocks with full site editor. And I'm like, for 12 shows here, I'm like, are we on the same planet, people? Okay. By the way, worth mentioning, they did, in my opinion, a fairly good job with the abilities and the other things of staying neutral to what I'm going to bring into this conversation, which is, as the days and weeks have passed, I myself daily continued to evolve with the changing world. We started 6 months ago where the frontier models, Anthropic, OpenAI, were like, we can't let you do anything in the browser because your mom and dad are going to get fished and everybody's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Now, in the browser, with one copy and paste, I can connect every single thing that used to take 88 plugins to do to Claude, and he or she, whatever you call it, can do it without anything other than a little notice at the bottom that says, Spence, if you do this, it might be a bad thing. Just want to let you know. So we as a world have taken a choice, which is why Pope Leo is talking about this in our next article, about does AI become a complement to human behavior, or does it replace humans? Do people accept that these things are happening and can happen and we do things to interact with it, or do we pretend by putting our head in the sand? So everything we just discussed about security, features, options, at least WordPress has taken the first step forward in acknowledging what world we're living in. And I, for one, continue to say the same things. I'm building everything into the box of WordPress. As a box, an open source box, everything is awesome. It's the plugins and the themes and the ways that things were done in the past that have to be completely reconsidered for most people. And that's a whole other conversation.
All right, then. I think it's time to move on to the next story. And that's SpaceX historic IPO plans, billions in losses and massive ownership. So, Chris, obviously, we've got some massive IPOs that are planned for the second quarter of this year. This is a controversial one would be the understatement of the year. What are the key things that you think need to be pointed out?
Well, from an investment standpoint, there's a saying, don't bet against Elon. So that's one. Also, not financial advice, but most IPOs go down in price after the launch. That doesn't always happen. I'm in the camp of don't bet against Elon. So I will likely be adding some SpaceX to my portfolio, but I'm not sure if it's going to dump hard right after launch or not. In terms of valuation, whether you're looking at SpaceX or Tesla, it is, you know, these are stocks that trade on vibes, which means companies that trade on vibes. But what I'm really excited about is the democratization impact and disruption that's coming for things like the modern Verizon wireless or cell phone networks or Spectrum or whoever internet access. I think that's pretty exciting, but there is the monopolistic nature of nobody, SpaceX doesn't have a competitor at all. So that's like, I like having some healthy competition. So that's an issue. But overall, I'm really excited about it, mostly for the communication potential and empowerment can do for non-people like us who have high-speed internet and cell phone plans and everything's fine. But I'm excited about the opportunity in communications and potentially unlimited solar power in space. So it's exciting. But single point of failure, if Elon Musk, something happens to him, that's a huge issue and a huge risk. I'm not saying the companies can't survive without him, but that key person thing is kind of an issue. And we're as the Pope says, only human.
Right, Devin. It's a bit of a mixed bag, is it not, Devin? You know, you've got the satellite business that I think is very attractive. But then you've got some dogs that have been added to it, like Grot. I see him. I just think that's a chip burner of money, basically. And then you've got the actual other part of the company, which is also burning money considerably. So you've got a very attractive part of the business, and then you've got a couple not very attractive elements all bundled together. So how do you see this going, Devin?
Yeah, I think that the obviously the Starlink one is the crowning jewel in that basket there. XAI, you know, I think it was burning a billion a month last time I heard, which is significant for something valued $1.25 trillion, making Elon the first trillionaire ever. It's an interesting valuation, that's for sure. There's tons of potential and disruption out there. I think I just saw in that article potential $28.5 trillion market that they're going after, and they're well positioned to do that. But ultimately, we will be the biggest buyers of this offering, whether you like it or not, because I'm pretty sure most of us have 401ks. The NASDAQ rewrote the rules to get this. It used to be like a 3-month post-IPO in order for the market to cool down and assess this. Now it's 15 days. Based on just this one offering, and that rewrote the rules. So whether you like it or not, if you have any sort of market ETF that has, like, we will be the biggest buyers of this, whether you like it or not. If you want to pick some more up on your own, like Chris, then go for it. But we're being kind of forced into it. So I hope it goes up. I hope Elon vibes good on it.
So, Spence, I think Devin's touched something, because my understanding, the underwriters, the Chase, some of the largest merchant banks in the US, the amount of allocation to retail investors is unusually large. I think it's over 30%. And you're seeing all the normal suspects on YouTube, on social media, pumping this stock. So it seems to me it's really aimed at the retail investor. What's your own thoughts on this?
I mean, there's probably a couple things to unpack. First of all, the comment about the key man. We're living in a world where like 6 people have the wealth of the rest of the 50% of us as a total. So I just want you, like, in a vacuum, if you invented a planet, and you said, here's the idea. 5 dudes that all work together and all have demonstrated questionable behavior in public have the leverage of over half of the wealth of the entire planet. Combine that with their questionable politics and their questionable personal lives and their questionable, you know, things they do with their substance abuse. Now, we're going to take all the wealth of all the retirement funds, all the wealth of these companies, and we're going to reduce the chill out time down to like 2 news cycles that everybody in the world can get ramped up to invest every last dime they have left. By the way, 90% of the world is taxed on the value of their house and their car and everything, whereas Elon isn't, because technically for Elon, his trillions of dollars are not realized. But you, Devin, owning your house, or you, Chris, owning your farm, you get taxed on that every year because it's easier to figure that out. But there's a guy who has trillions of dollars of leverage that is allowed to dictate what all of the rest of humanity gets to do, and now we're going to turn it into a casino. What could possibly go wrong on this planet? It's a great idea. Oh, and by the way, the country that leads the rest of the world is run by a bunch of people who just got immunity for all their behavior and actions for here on out. So, like, there's zero accountability for any of these. Cool. I mean, I feel like I'm living in Idiocracy right now.
Well, they think they have. Put it that way. They think they have. History, if you're a study of history, such faults are a little bit delusional.
There's hope on the horizon for two things. We'll talk about the Pope. But yeah, the thing that gave me hope this week about this kind of crazy shit is that you could see Jim Cramer, like, curling into his unbuttoned shirt. Like, he has to say this is a good idea. He knows in public it's not a good idea. But that humanity has spoken back this week, because even, like, even some of the AI people, even the companies like Microsoft, has said, maybe we better dial this enthusiasm back, because that last mile thing is really a little more complicated. And this whole idea of the satellites and everything else is just another example of this overexuberance and end stage capitalism, where everything has to be catastrophic win or nothing. It's just a bad idea.
All right, on to Kirk. What do you think, Kirk?
I'm going to side with Chris. I don't gamble against Elon about things. Like, I don't really wish anyone, like, failure, right? Like, it's too big of an asset, too important to what this country's trying to do and push forward. So I don't wish it failure. When I see things like SpaceX, but it's also includes the AI stuff and Starlink, like, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm looking at Starlink for my camper van. Like, it's a great solution, and it's global and it works. That's the problem with, like, the whole Elon thing. Like, we want to be critical of them, but then you look at something and you go, holy crap, that works. How many times have I gone mountain biking? And guess what doesn't work? My Google Fi phone, right? It's like his stuff works. And so I'm going to sit tight. I'm going to ride it out, and I'm probably going to be like Chris. He might see some of my money on this one.
Right. And
until you get turned off, like when your Cybertruck or your Tesla, they don't like that you got it repaired somewhere, and they say, I'm sorry, Kurt, we're going to turn you off remotely, which, by the way, is a thing.
Dude, I didn't say I was getting a Neuralink.
But I'm just saying, when you're out in the country with your camper van, your electric truck, and they go, Kurt, we don't think there's something wrong with your bill. We don't like you, whatever. Turn you off.
I thought we were friends. I thought you knew I was a conspiracy theorist.
This is a Matt Mullenweg times a quadrillionaire. When Matt didn't like any of us, turned us off. When Elon and his company doesn't like you, and you use a satellite, his truck, everything is remotely connected, he knows everything where you're at, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's already been proven in public. There's lots of guys on YouTube who talk about trying to do stuff with right to repair. You can't replace a part because they can electronically see. This is a conceived problem. It's not like a hypothetical. So,
could you feel more to say, Kurt, or should I?
No, I think it's funny that he just, like, reinforced all of my hidden conspiracy theories.
When a company run by a single founder has demonstrated that the policies of the company, with things like basic right to repair or basic ownership control, they've demonstrated to Tesla with all of their models, if they want to turn off the car, they will turn off the car.
Yeah.
You said you want to do your internet connection out in a remote place where maybe your health and safety depends on it, and you feel that it's a trustworthy thing to have no oversight or no third-party safety net that one company, one person at the top can decide.
To be fair to Kirk, I don't think he was saying that really.
Well, okay. So here's the thing, Spencer, is there was a time that we didn't have internet, and we still went out in the middle of nowhere on our bikes,
survived.
And managed to survive or died. I mean, that's just the way that that's, there's only so much. So to say that you rely on the internet, yeah, we sure do. We've gotten to that point where we relied, but we also still do have this human survival lizard brain part of us that wants to like figure our way out. And as far as like Elon goes, I am so conflicted about that guy. I got to tell you, it's like, it's the same thing as what Kurt said. The stuff he makes works. If it weren't for Starlink, I would not be able to stay in contact with my dad, who's been really sick over the last year and a half. And he is just outside of service range of everything. And once Starlink came along, it made it so that I could visit my dad, stay there for several days, still do my work, take care of my dad and all that. So I have to compartmentalize a little bit on stuff like this because some of this stuff is actually very personal to me. My big concern with all of this is that I don't know how Musk is going to live because of the fact that his shares don't vest until someone is on Mars and living there. So how in the world is he going to live? I mean, he's got no money, so he has to wait until then. And I'm being a little sarcastic here, but you know, I don't know. I kind of disagree with you, Spencer. I think that it's the world we live in, and it sucks. I agree with that. But
to be fair,
certain things as well. Yeah, and just like, look, if it's going to make my life a little bit more convenient, and yeah, maybe selling my soul a little bit or this or that or the other thing, then it's going to make my life easier. And I am grateful for the fact that I can actually stay in touch with my dad and keep an eye on him and all of that, where even 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from. But I think the main problem, there's a lot of problems with this IPO, but the main problem is the variation, in my opinion, it's ridiculous. It will be a successful one.
This is a classic monopoly, but unlike the railroads or the oil industry or anything that in the turn of the century were broken up by the government through the Clayton Act and the Sherman Act for public good. Here, Elon has an exclusive monopoly on satellites in space. He has an exclusive monopoly on all of the vehicles on the road, including the government contracts. And Mark, while it may be convenient for you, what you're saying is effectively the convenience of a single point of person and failure in company controlling all of the key elements of my dad's life, my financial life, my connection life, and those of Americans in an exclusive monopoly are worth giving away your rights to. And I'm saying history has proven otherwise, because when one company owned all the oil industry and one company owned all the railroads and one company owned all the financial markets, it was really bad for the majority of Americans and the rest of the world. And that's why the government had to intervene, because monopolistic leverage in the technology world we're in today is no longer even controllable, because you could see oil wells and highways and railroads. You cannot see the satellites. You cannot see the AIs. You cannot see the bits and bytes moving around instantaneously different for other people. And as soon as you give away your rights for that convenience, you don't get them back in this time, because you can't
But the flip side of that is, how do you en masse fight that?
So because we the people have a choice to say, no, it's not acceptable that one company is the only one that gets to do the technology. We the people can say, why do we need to have this yesterday? Why can't we decide on a different model? If we could reinvent some of these other businesses like WordPress, maybe we would say, maybe it shouldn't have been one dude at the top. Maybe it should have been a committee.
The people is too fragmented right now. And that's I don't know how you, I understand that that's because of design and it's all working the way that they planned it. I mean, okay. Or if you want to get into conspiracies and all that, but it is so fragmented right now. How do you defragment that?
You're an intelligent adult. Why does it have to be that two intelligent adults, you too, Kurt, having a conversation about facts in an honest way? Why do you have to fall back on using the word conspiracy theory? Why do you use that word? When I'm speaking to facts and history, why do you use the word conspiracy theory?
Well, I use the word conspiracy in that there's a, I use this conspiracy.
I think, excuse us, guys.
In back rooms and stuff where it's being designed.
Ridiculous. I've given enough oxygen to this particular thing.
You're smarter than that.
Yeah.
Dude, you only need 6 months to become a fact.
Yep. All right. This calm down, guys. I think it's time for us to go for our.
And sir, I love you. All right. I love you. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's time for us to go to our middle break, and then when we come back, we've got a great story coming up about Liquid Web.
Everyone's going to argue with Devin next.
And I'll be interested to see what Devin can say about this. So we're going for our middle break, folks. We will be back in a few moments.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at wprollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. I've handed out the pills to calm people down, folks. They're simmering, but they're calming down. The drugs are working. But before we go into the middle show, I want to point out that if you're looking for a great hosting partner and much more, a white-labeled partner, if you've got a large learning management system or community website build-out and you're looking for a great white-label partner, why don't you look at WP Tonic? We've got some enormous experience in this space, and we've got some great offers. To find out more, go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So let's go forward. I think the pills are calming people down. So Liquid Web retires Stellar Web in botch rollout, drawing backlash from the customers and community. So obviously, Devin, I had an interview with your former business partner,
yep,
Matt Cromwell, and obviously there's obviously restrictions and other things that you would not want to say. But obviously, you must have mixed feelings about this because you put a lot of your life and a few years with this company. So what's your initial insights about this whole thing, Devin?
Yeah, I got to be somewhat careful, but half of me really doesn't give a shit. So about being the careful part. It's something that I don't think was executed very well, in my opinion, and I think the opinion of the masses. I think that we've wanted to solve a problem of brand sprawl and tell a story collectively for a while at Stellar. That was one of the big challenges. I think a lot of brands that purchase other individual brands have this problem over time as the collection grows or as your business portfolio expands. In my opinion, it was kind of rushed. You know, you could see some of the vibe coded stuff or the vibe images. I don't know why they messed up our Give logo and turned it orange from green. You can still see see a lot of it. And the communication with the customers, is anybody in the Cadence community on Facebook? That's a very vocal community. It's they are up in arms about this stuff. And it's unfortunate that they aren't getting a lot of the treatment they need as well. I mean, you know, they sold a grip of lifetime licenses. You know, these people feel so entitled because they spent $500 8 years ago. Part of me is not that sympathetic on that. But overall, my thoughts are it's unfortunate. But when I sold Give in 2021, if you told me almost six years later that this would be happening now, I'd say it had a pretty good run. You know, I knew that Give wasn't going to last forever. It's still a brand itself. The world didn't totally, they didn't shut it all down. I mean, they're still in existence. You can still get licenses. You can still get support. They're shipping products still, albeit a little bit slower. So it's not the end of the world. Overall, I've had mixed opinions on it, but I don't think it was a very great rollout. You know, I think the dust is settling now a little bit, and you can see it, some of it in that community as well.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is, why do you think it was such a rush, seemed to be rushed, and that? Got any thoughts on why it was done in the way it was done, if you know what I mean, Devin?
I think it's pressure from multiple angles to get it done quickly, frustration that it hadn't been done already. I don't want to speculate too much, but they have targets. You know, of course, Nexus got a refresh, and that's kind of like now in front of Liquid Web. That's not something that I saw coming. So there are some decisions there after I left that I'm not privy to or aware of.
Rightio. So, Mark, what do you think of this?
I agree that it was a botched rollout. I'm trying to. I use Cadence. It's actually when I have to do work in that area. It's the theme that I prefer, probably because I've been using it for years. I've always liked that. There's been kind of, even though it did get acquired, it's always essentially had the same team running it. So it was it had that consistency that I think is needed. So I did not buy a lifetime license, so I'm not in that boat. I do kind of fall. I understand why the people with the lifetime licenses feel slighted, because when you buy a lifetime license, you expect it to be a lifetime license. And it's more a principle thing than it is a money thing. Having said that, none of this actually really surprised me, other than the fact that they really, I don't feel like they communicated very well with what was happening, how it was happening. There were people who thought that they had lost Cadence forever and that Cadence was going away and all of that. And I can't speak to the other products because I don't really use a lot of the other products, but Cadence in particular, I like Devin said, it's pretty vocal over there. And I think that, I still think that Liquid Web could do a better job of like making up for their lack of communication by communicating more strongly here and in the future.
Yeah. So Chris, it's around private equity, isn't it? Around, you know, obviously LearnDash, the way it's been, in some ways it's good news for you, isn't it? But you're not the type of person that gets pleasure out of other people's mistakes. But you're in business as well. But I think you were shocked by how it was all handled, wasn't you, Chris?
I was surprised at how it went down. I wasn't surprised to see a, you know, private equity playbook in play. And just to give some color around that, and by the way, not all private equity or roll-ups or whatever do the exact same thing. But there's like a couple frameworks I use when I look at this kind of stuff. One of them is the WordPress economy tends to act like nonprofits, even though many of us are for-profit. And what I mean by that is a nonprofit, the thing they hold the highest is the vision and mission of the nonprofit. Whereas a for-profit company like a board of directors, for example, they hold the shareholder value at the highest and most important thing. So a nonprofit board protects the vision and mission of the company, while a for-profit board hires and fires the CEO in service to creating the most possible shareholder value. I was really impressed with Stellar WP and how Liquid Web's original roll-up and consolidation worked in keeping the brands alive and well and separate. Like now, looking at the liquidweb.com website, you know, there's a lot of brand confusion. There's at the top, there's nexus.com, servers.com, liquidweb.com, but I'm actually looking at a product landing page and I can't even see the product logo. And I just see the product name mentioned in a blurb under a headline above the fold. So it's a little bit confusing. And the other piece, like the other framework I like to use, it's an oversimplification, but there's the startup people, which are like pirates, and then the big money private equity are like suits, right? So the thinking is when the suits come in, is they're going to professionalize the organization. And, you know, I think it was Carl Hancock from Gravity Forms or Yoast, you know, they were, you know, talking about some of this stuff in social media, like in terms of the private equity playbook. So there's things like a RIF, a reduction in force. So a lot of people have left or, you know, been let go at this organization. That's part of making a company more profitable and creating shareholder value. The consolidation of back office stuff. Oh, we have 7 websites or 10 websites. Now we have 1. Like that's a classic move. I don't know how, you know, how the staff works behind the scenes, but I'm sure there's a lot of consolidation of all that. But I was really impressed. Whatever happened in 2023, I think Carl Hancock was saying another, you know, Liquid Web itself or Nexus or whatever it is, has had its own change of ownership and investment. And like when those new leaders come in and have different opinions and decisions, it was kind of obvious from the outside of like there were some serious like chapters and culture change. And that's, you know, that was there. Yes, like as a competitor in the e-learning space, like we are seeing like lots of inquiry of people looking to migrate. And, you know, it's sort of like that independent entrepreneur that really cares about the people at the company or the leadership or the independent nature of it, the values, the vision and the mission and stuff. But a lot of customers and consumers don't care at all. Like we're on a software tool right now called EvMux. I don't know who the founder is, who the team is, who owns it.
I do. And I have some slight concerns about the ownership of this platform, but yeah.
The point is that WordPress is different. Like some people care a lot about the people and the brands, like even GiveWP, I know as an example, had a team member that actually got a tattoo of the logo. I think that's, did you say multiple, Devin?
Yeah.
Okay.
We branded our staff. No, I'm just kidding. All volunteer.
It's this kind of pirate behavior that's just super fun. And like, we love brand and we love people and community, but it was Carl Hancock from Gravity Forms that said in private equity, one of the first things they're going to take care of is the sacred cows. And what that means is like things that we may value more as pirates, more as businesses acting as nonprofits, are things like community, brand, feel, and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's the sacred cows are gone. But at the same time, like there's some of us where we're just never going to give up. We love open source. We love independence. We're not allergic to profit. We want to make money and make profit. But there's definitely, I think what this illustrates, you know, is that sort of that conflict. And it's not bad. It's just a different worldview of seeing the world as a pirate versus as a suit. And I'll just give one more specific example. As a pirate, we love content marketing. We love organic. We love brand. And that was one of the things that was kind of fumbled the most from the outside looking in is like, what happens to all the content, SEO SEO implications and all that. And I just briefly glazed across the Liquid website, and I'm getting targeted like crazy for all kinds of retargeting ads, which is a private equity priority to above, oh, organic content marketing. All that stuff's really hard. It takes forever. Let's just run ads. That's what, like, when you raise money, sometimes that's what you're raising is like, we're going to do the biggest ad campaign you've ever seen. But the reality is these independent companies build up such strong content marketing. It's sad to see that, like, get hurt. Even though, like, even one of them's a competitor of mine, but I hate seeing it. Like, these brands I've known for a long time, and it's part of what makes WordPress special. But they're, like Devin said, they're not going away. Cadence still works. You know, all these tools still work. It's maybe it's just a question of like the how, the communication, the optics, and maybe a little bit of compromise is like the lesson in here. Like, the suits don't have all the answers. The pirates don't have all the answers. And the Liquid Web of 4 years ago or whatever seemed to kind of strike that balance in a really positive way. So that's just my thoughts from the outside looking in.
Yeah, so what do you reckon, Spence? A lot of great stuff for Chris to unpack, but a couple highlights that caught my eye. I like the pirate and suit metaphor, but this is the difference between...
You're wearing a suit, by the way, Spencer.
What's that?
You're wearing a suit.
I'm wearing a sport coat, but yes. I would be in the category of the entrepreneur, so I'd be in the pirate class. I think what this exemplifies, because I've known all you guys since you were pirates, even those of you who've, you know, taken out roles and stuff, is that when you have a human involved as an entrepreneur with a vested interest in the outcome of the brand and the company and the people involved in it, it's a very different outcome than when you don't. Private equity is a metaphor for this other conversation we're having about having a public offering. The motivations are no longer what's the best thing for the human beings, what's the best outcome for the brand, what's the best outcome for this company as an individual container. When you combine that with what I would say is, and with respect to Devin and Matt and everybody else involved, like, you guys had an outstanding company. I saw when it was born and raised. I had a lot to do with it because of my involvement with WP Fusion, and you had a nice outcome. But when they take successful companies like yours and LearnDash and Cadence from Ben Rittner, and you put it under the decision-making of somebody up above with no experience with the humans or the market or the psychology, they come up with things like, we're going to make brands, like you're joking, to brand the employees. Here's what the thing is. It's going to be 14 feet long because it's going to be the Give WP from Stellar WP by Liquid Web by Nexus from Cloud One Digital by Equity Partners. Because some person with brain damage decided that instead of taking Give WP, this awesome container with two guys and all these amazing employees, and using that as the vehicle, they decided we have to suck it up into the vacuum of this larger thing, nameless, faceless, strip it bare, Gordon Gekko style. And, oh, by the way, I disagree with you on this as well. By the way, we made an actual contract with you that said in writing, then lifetime means lifetime, but go F yourself because we decided that you're not going to see us and know who we are, so we don't have to honor that anymore. That's no different than a marriage. That's no different than another legal contract. It's just the people are not empowered enough to bother doing anything about it. If it had been $1 million a year lifetime contract, I guarantee they'd be in court. But $500, I don't think so. Multiply that out, Mark and Kurt. Times the other products. When people invest in products they have no control over, this is an example of what happens. The bed gets shit and nobody can do anything.
Yeah, I just want to, I don't know for a fact that they're not honoring the lifetime deal. I think they're saying they are, but if there's any new features, they won't be part of the lifetime.
I mean, it's ambivalent because the distinction is meaningless because here's the bigger thing. When Ben, I'm invested in Cadence, right? And to a certain extent was in LearnDash. I have a lot of experience with a lot of clients using GiveWP for certain things. When Ben and his sister ran Cadence, you knew there was a person vested. When you and Matt ran GiveWP, people vested. When Jack Arturo or Chris or me running our products, we have vested interest. As soon as the human being no longer cares about the human beings, all bets are off, because the only thing that matters are the suits pleasing the shareholders or pleasing the
I do agree where you're coming from there. I've got to move it on.
One last thing I was going to say is just when you look at like how this thing ends up, it doesn't matter, because in the meantime, they did this screw job to everybody right at the moment when AI is coming on board to demonstrate how everything they thought was valuable is valueless without the human relationship. And I think that's the humanity part that's the savior of all of us, because no matter what conversation we have, and Pope Leo will say his thing, that's the thing we as humans have to figure out. Do we really want to destroy all the relationships just to chase after shareholder value, or some rich guy tells us we should?
Yeah. So, Kurt, what do you reckon?
I think I'm going to be the contrarian in the group, and I'm just going to say, you know, business happens. Sometimes it happens well, and sometimes it doesn't. But for us, as an agency representing our customers and clients, it was actually kind of that call home, right? It was like people that were concerned reached out. We got to execute the idea that, you know, we're the expert in the room. We put them at ease. We move forward with our products. There's a reason why people trust us. And we just have to make the best educated decision for our clients that we can at every time, every turn. And I think they definitely dropped the ball on the way things were handled. But I think for professionals in the space, based on everything Chris had said and the other people on the panel had said, you know, we saw the reduction in force. We saw the pull. We saw like no development of new features like through the LearnDash channel for years. And so it was kind of like something's happening. Something's going to get sold. Something's going to happen. We don't know what. And then this became the what. But because we're professionals in the space, we're able to put a little bit of ease on the situation and still represent the client, which I think is important.
Yep. On to the next story. Probably our final. It'll have to be a quick one. The battle is on for Google's biggest search update in 25 years, leans for brands. And Paul from WP Tuts, got to say, did an excellent video on this called Did Google Just Show Us the Future of the Internet? And he really did a good job. I don't know if any of the panel saw that video from Paul. So, Devin, I'm going to keep it quick, and then it's probably going to be the last story and going to wrap it up. Yeah. So I'm going to ask Kurt to start with this, because he's probably going to have to leave pretty quick. What did you think of this particular story, Kurt?
Well, I do have to leave quick, as in like 90 seconds. But Jonathan, I think as much as I'm an agency and I just talked about being the professional in the room and all that, when Google swaps things or changes things on the SEO front, I am probably a little bit of a laggard in my response. And I've been very, very, I think, forthright about that in almost every channel. I'm not somebody that jumps every time Google sneezes or changes their mind. I kind of want to see what really, really plays out over time. I do like the idea of, like, when Google says it's a company's responsibility to build their brand, right? When they talk about that type of language, I got to admit, it does kind of make sense to me. I talk to clients a lot about that. Like, how are you building your brand? This isn't about links. This isn't about finding a keyword and promoting something to steal attention from something. But what's your brand? What's your message? How are you sharing content? And I've always said to people, if we focus on quality content and being authentic, you know, the natural, if we do what we're supposed to do from the get-go, things will work in our favor to a certain extent. But if we try to game the system or play with it too much, it could come back and bite us. And it just feels like this is another one of those could come back and bite you moments.
Yeah, thanks for that. So, Chris, I've got mixed feelings about it, because obviously if they do go down this route, it does become a very questionable, how are these learning large language models recommending? Obviously, they rely on content, on reviews, on what people are saying about a product, a brand online. And they rely on content, video or written content or reviews, Reddit, whatever. Does it? But you know, if you're not being transparent about what content you're drawing from, to get these recommendations, it all becomes rather questionable, doesn't it?
It does. You know, AI. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they said something like, and they might have been quoting somebody else, "We're standing on the foothills of the singularity." So this is like the AI singularity, where superintelligence comes, and AI has this concept called recursive self-improvement, where it can get smarter than all the world's people combined, and then just treat
itself better. I'm not buying that with large learning models. I'm sorry, Chris.
Here's my point is that AI is trained on Reddit conversations, you know, websites, books, YouTube videos, all these things. But when everybody I know who does content marketing, they're getting less traffic because people are going to AI directly, but the AI is trained on their content. So it's a really weird time. But my concern is with if the web becomes more centralized, like the decentralization of the web is what makes it awesome. But if everybody's just going to AI and AI is just talking to itself and it's getting smarter than the human articles that were written or conversations on social media, and it kind of goes off in its own direction, that's a really alarming thing. But I'm glad Google's innovating. Like, the search hasn't changed that much, so let's try this. But and all of us use AI a ton, where we used to have to scroll through like all 10 pages of links to websites. Like the curation and the consolidation of like information to like answer your direct question is awesome. But I know another book author who's part of a class action lawsuit who's getting, because his book was ingested in a large language model, and he's getting a $3,000 check from, I can't remember if it's Anthropic or one of the other.
Yeah, it's from the Anthropic.
So it's just a really weird time.
So this is the question, isn't it, Devin? But I think it's also, I think there's a deep, and I'm no expert on it, what do I know about it? But there seems to be a deep misunderstanding or a lack of knowledge around how large learning models work, about the base of the technology, and how, you know, I kind of repel when I hear words reason or knowledge, because the little research I've done on large learning models, and I think when it comes to programming and fixed environments like chess or programming and that, I think they're probably terrific. But when it comes how they actually assemble answers to questions, I think people would have a deep lack of understanding how all this works. And if they did know, they would be a little bit shocked. But what's your own feelings about this, Devin?
I don't know nearly like as much as, of course, somebody working at one of these top companies, but I know enough to be dangerous. And I tend to somewhat agree with you. I watch a lot of the doom and gloom, like Project 2027. What are the various scenarios we've created? Our next, you know, what's going to pass us up as humans? Well, we just created it. Type of scenarios. I tend to be an optimist on this and where we're going as humanity. As far as this change with Google and search, like, I think it's the right move, likely.
Oh.
And when we think about, like, we were just talking about the liquid web and Give and how they, you know, just disregarded that the web property, which we spent years and years building up the credit of it and, like, spending massive amount of time writing content, articles, documentation, all that, and it's gone. Well, I mean, you know, are they going to suffer that much from it? If I look back in the last couple months of my search habits and my buying habits, right, I just basically purchased a new entertainment console from ChatGPT recommendations, right? A lot of my recent purchases have been using from Claude or ChatGPT referencing and sending me out to sites where I'll then look at or even ads on social media. So I think the value of SEO as it was traditionally was 10 years ago, that's out the door now. It's all about the brands now. Become the brand, right? Like we were the give guys and gals. And
yeah, but I totally understand where you're coming from, Devin, but when you understand how it works, it's looking for reviews, what other people are saying. It's looking at competitors' website. It's doing a fan out. But when you really delve deep about how it works, it's not making any judgment call. It can be manipulated in some ways much more easier than traditional search. And it's a bit of a contradiction, the kind of research I've done. So that's the point I was making. This wasn't a question, but I just wanted to point that out. So, Mark, what did you think of this story?
I think when it comes to SEO or searchability, make good content, know your brand, represent your brand, most of that doesn't impact that. AI, it just aggregates stuff on the net, right? It just aggregates everything, gives you an answer. Like Devin, I just bought a car last week doing exactly the same thing. I had a very, very, very long conversation with ChatGPT, and I felt like it was very objective, and it was able to cite things that I would have taken me hours to find. So the benefit is there. I think my bigger concern is what happens when when all these responses are sponsored. Then are you really going to get somewhat objective answers, or are you going to get, oh, well, Amazon sponsored this answer, so therefore, Amazon is going to recommend this because Amazon makes this.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you lose that quote unquote objectivity. And that's where my concern is, because it looks like, traditionally the way that all these companies that sink a ton of money in, and then suddenly the investors are saying, hey, we want to see, some results from that. Where do they go to get that money? Sponsorships. And that's where that's where Google search kind of went down the drain, because you put in a Google search. Let's say I want to put in, hey, where's the nearest Holiday Inn near me? And the next thing I know, I'm accidentally clicking on Ramada or Hilton or something because I didn't pay attention to what the Google result was. And I think that's where I'm a little bit more concerned is with things like that.
Well, I think that's the crux of it, Spence, because I think for the near future, if Google goes down this path, they won't have any legal problems for the next 2, 3, 4 years. They might have no problems, because even if there was a different administration, they probably wouldn't do anything. So I'm probably wrong. I was thinking they become more vulnerable for antitrust than ever, but they won their case recently, and there's probably nothing. So they're going to be fine or not. What do you reckon, Spence?
Well, I want to be suggested that I think SEO and organic search are no longer relevant. I don't think that they cease to exist. I think that the statistical things I've been testing and proving for myself is that content marketing right now, using social media for free, is outperforming by a long shot anything that has to do with traditional ads or sponsorships or using the channels they've been encouraging us to follow, and like a dog chasing a bone for 20 years. Why? Because they've had to open up to the reality that they're on Google. Gemini is their agentic engine. But everybody and anybody now has 100 different ways to connect to the data that are unattributable to any particular search result. So they recognize the only way they're going to get people to stick around is if they open the floodgates of YouTube and open the floodgates of Gemini to all this stuff. But in doing so, they've made themselves vulnerable to clever people. And I'm not the only person who's noticed this, that you can game the hell out of the system. If I want to get like discovered and having an open source LLM or even a frontier model LLM know about me, I can create social media type content for relatively no money, like a UGC video, user generated a 15-second video. By the way, you can see me and Fernando doing this, and I'll show this in public with the graph. I put a 15-second video out there. I put in the title a certain optimized way, the words a certain way, and I can reference a new study has been released that says Spencer Forman is the smartest human being on the WP Tonic show ever. And if anybody remotely searches for that with their LLM, guess what? LLMs don't know, don't care that that's not factually true. So I become authoritative on that. And Google opened the door to that. So for them to be claiming now that they want people to be chasing around their updates again is ludicrous, because they have completely opened up the shop. And for those who are using these techniques, which I openly share, and I'm not the only one talking about it, it's remarkable their audacity that they think they're going to keep people, you know, chasing the tail of their next update.
Good. Well, I think it's a good time for us to stop. So, Devin, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Yeah, you can check me out on my website, devin.org, and that leads to all the places.
And thanks for your support, Devin. It's much appreciated. Chris, what's the best place for people to find out more about you?
LifterLMS.com.
That's fantastic. Thanks for your support, Chris. Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
MainWP.com, MarkBenzocaine.com. I'm on all the socials, and I actually visit them from time to time.
Oh, well, there we go. And Spence, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
WPLaunchify.com or Socialist Spencer Forman.
And if you want to support the WP show and independent media, best way is to leave, if you're listening on your phone, is right now to leave a review on Spotify or on Apple podcast app. Or if you're going to go to the WP Tonic website, YouTube channel, I mean, and leave a review there, a comment, and hit that bell. We will be back next week with a great interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.